Section 4 now of my Psalms 1, back to the Psalms commentary. It says in Psalm 1, verse 6, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." The Lord knows the road that the just, lawful person has to take. He knows because he is the one that put the road there. Now it is said that this road is narrow. It's a narrow road, and few that there be that find it. Jesus said that in Matthew 7, verse 14. And this is opposite of what most people of this world would think. There's also a road traveled by the ungodly. The road is wide and well traveled. It has been laid down by the ungodly themselves, doing as they saw right and just and lawful in their own eyes. That road, it is said, here, one day shall perish. Now, can you imagine walking down the road alongside nearly everyone else when suddenly that well-trodden road crumbles and falls out beneath all of our feet? Notice the psalmist doesn't say here that the ungodly person perishes. It says their road perishes. You've seen the pictures of bridges when they've collapsed, haven't you? I picture this something similar to that. What was once a sturdy expressway becomes a pile of rubble down below. The question often comes up, why would a loving God allow for that? Now, is that to question why God would allow people to design and build their own road? Is it a loving God that wouldn't allow a rebellious people to build and travel down a road of their own making in the first place? Or is it a question why a loving God would allow what this rebellious people, what they've built, to collapse in upon them? The obvious answer is that a loving God would allow them for a short time to attempt to build this faulty structure, but would warn them that it will not be the final structure that will ever take them as far as they need to go. That they will at some point either have to get back onto his road or else suffer the impending consequence of their own rebellion. See, the love isn't just in the allowing. It's in the warning and in the providing of a much better way. So it says here, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." Another way of thinking of this: the Lord knows the way of the righteous, which he has constructed, will not be easy. Justice and lawfulness never are. It often requires standing against the majority opinion and walking against the common flow. The way of the ungodly is easy. One just stays on the course they're already on, the course the rest of the world has set out for them. All they have to do is fit in with the herd, you know, join in with the mob, goggle over the sight and the spectacle of it all, and the camaraderie of it all. This is not to say that these many are simply bad, bad people. No, it is much more complicated than that. The majority of them are good people. It is not going to be their goodness, however, that keeps this road they are on from collapsing. See, one is not righteous regardless of the road that they're on. They are righteous only because of the road that they are on. The same exact person put on the opposite roadway inherits the title or the direction of that roadway. It is best for us not to think in terms of easy and good, neither comfortable and natural in this evaluation. It is best for us to think in terms of God and which directions will take us back to him. I find it interesting that so many people have convinced themselves that they are on their own personal course, that they're blazing their own trail apart from the rest. It seems to be the majority opinion amongst those walking on that road that will perish. Perhaps that is the part of the reason that road is so wide and frequently traveled. Not just the numbers, but the directions they are wandering and going about. Blazing a new trail must mean marching in lockstep, I guess, but with different colored hats. There are also those that say all paths lead to heaven. Well, I don't know if it'll mean for them heaven, but all paths certainly will lead them to the judgment throne of God. In the grand scheme, there really aren't that many other directions for anyone to go. One is either compressing inwards towards the justification of self, or expanding their outlook outward towards the justification mercifully placed upon us by God. All paths are either one path or else the other. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Again, verse 6. Another way of looking at this is the Lord knows the way because it has been the same way all along. From the fall of Adam and Eve, it hasn't been about us hiding ourselves behind fig leaves that we've sewn together. No, it was going to have to be something that God did for us through his own sacrifice of something near and dear to him, us being covered in the remembrance of that sacrifice. When God then looked upon Adam and Eve, he could look upon what he had done to cover them instead of what they had done to cover themselves. That has been the way of the righteous ever since. The way of the ungodly, while it might for a moment hide our shame and nakedness from each other, is nothing more than the sewing of fig leaves together. It cannot hide us from the shame and nakedness we feel when we're in the presence of God. Therefore, if we're ever to come back into God's presence, the way of sowing ourselves for ourselves fig leaves will have to perish. In the context of this Psalm 1, happiness, this aspect of covering is most important. On the one hand, we are naked and ashamed before each other. On the other hand, we are naked and ashamed before God. We can go about doing something about that ourselves or allow God to do his thing upon us. Naked and ashamed is not the same place where we are ultimately going to find happiness. So when the man and the woman go about urgently doing something about it, their first attempt likely was to ignore or suppress this new and foreign feeling. That attempt having failed, they moved on to clothing themselves in something other to appear to each other that they're something different than they truly are. There is somewhat of a happiness to be found in this remedy. Maybe not happiness per se, but slight relief of the shame and nakedness. Or maybe we call this, instead of happiness, we call it happierness. This is the remedy most people would choose to leave this at, happierness. With happierness, if one will stick to it long enough, one will become more and more numb to the shame and the nakedness, hopefully. One will see others for what they have dressed themselves up to be. The competition then becomes who can dress themselves up to be something other than that they are the very best. And boy, what a competition it's become. This is not the only remedy, however. God has his. The long-range effect of God's remedy will be happiness, as opposed to happier-ness. The difference is that the man and the woman are no longer engaged in hiding themselves behind what they are dressing themselves up to be. They see each other as covered by the heartfelt sacrifice made for them by God. It is no longer trying to be what they are not. It is accepting each other for all that they are, but in the light of his magnificent offering. Despite their mutual fallen nature, despite what they now bluntly know about themselves, God's plan for them and action on their behalf still holds strong and is moving forward. It is a happiness along the pathway towards God's goal. It is a happiness especially when his goal is finally reached. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Think of it this way. Eventually the two paths will no longer need to be or need to cohabitate. The one will have been achieved, the other one will have lived out its usefulness. One might think that the wide road laid out by man is held together and set upright by man's will and self-determination. In other words, as long as the man wills, it'll hold itself together. I rather think that the road would have crumbled under its own weight and expense of maintaining a long time ago, had God not also somehow supported it. There have been signs of it crunching and crackling under our feet throughout all of history. God's support of this, though, should not be misinterpreted as his tacit agreement to it, however. Nor should it be considered by us to be perpetual.